Welcome to the Mother Days. I'm Sarah Wright Olson.
And I'm Teresa Palmer, and you are listening to the Mother Days. We are doing spooky tales for October.
And we have a very special guest with us today.
We're here with Debbie Wright, Sarah's mum. What a joy and a blessing.
Thank you.
I'm Facebook friends with you, Debbie. I don't know if we've ever met in real life, but I follow you on Facebook.
No. But I've watched all your movies, so.
Oh, so sweet. I was watching your movie the other day of an insane storm at your house.
It was crazy.
The rain was going sideways.
Yes. I spent all weekend cleaning my backyard, cleaning up. I always say it rains mud here, which it does rain mud here. So I had like 2 inches of mud on everything, and I washed all the patio cushions and everything and spent. And I just felt like it was so amazing last night when I sat down on the patio furniture and just to watch TV for a few minutes before I had to go to bed for work today. And all of a sudden, this huge storm came out of nowhere. And it felt like it was somewhere, it should have been somewhere tropical instead of in my backyard. And it was, and I was like, all I was worried about is my lettuce grow out there because it was, it's doing amazing.
Have you been able to harvest anything from your lettuce grow yet?
Well, I don't really know how to do that. I was going to Google, okay, like, what can I eat off of it or how can I take it?
Well, first of all, you can eat everything off of it.
Do I take the whole thing, the whole head of lettuce off, or I take a few pieces off, or what do I do?
I hear you. I totally get what you're saying. You actually harvest it like the way that you would do if you were eating something. So like you just kind of take off what you're going to eat, but you don't want to take off any more than that because then it'll wilt pretty quickly unless you like get into the fridge.
I wondered that. It's beautiful. And the heads of lettuce are so big and all the ones that I got are amazing.
Yeah, girl, start making salad. I mean, you should be.
You're the lettuce expert, Sarah.
The last storm I had, I had an umbrella protecting me because we've been having like 105 and 110 degree weather. So I had this umbrella cockeyed, kind of like protecting it. And then a storm hit while I was at work and it cut the head off of one of my pepper plants. It's like totally. I know, it's like spun around and took it off. So
I have to say, you have the most beautiful accent.
Oh,
I've never heard you speak before.
I know. Doesn't she have
it? I didn't even think I have an accent, but
the most gorgeous accent. Oh, it's heaven. You probably think I have the accent.
You do have one, yeah.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
We have a very special guest with us today that we've already talked about, but we're going to slide that in here.
With the best accent.
My mama.
Hello.
Hello. My mama, Debbie, from Kentucky originally. That's where I was born and that's where mom grew up. And mom has joined us today to tell us one of her kind of powerful story, something that happened to her before I was born. So welcome, Mom.
Thank you.
Tell us, what do you do for work?
Well, here in Arizona, I am an office manager at a dental practice. I have like 3 dentists, 4 specialists, 2 hygienists. But in Kentucky, I was actually a dental assistant where I actually did the work on you. If I did your fillings, cleanings for 23 mm-hmm. years. Yeah, I've been doing this for 33 years. So.
Our listeners know that you got me in really early on all of the whitening treatments and any of the...
You were the guinea pig, yes.
I was the guinea pig.
And that's why you both have beautiful teeth. And I'm looking at both of your gorgeous smiles. And I was like, wow, it pays to be in your job.
Yeah, Mom's teeth are amazing.
You need to send me some of the whitening stuff down to Australia.
I can.
I am straight up yellow. Thank you. Please do.
No, you're not.
No, I mean, we can see your teeth.
It's the sun. I look very white right now. I'm like just a reflector board.
I'm a guinea pig and I think I had like 18 fillings or something. I've had a lot of cavities and mm-hmm. And I have a lot of PTSD with being in the dental chair. There's a lot that comes along with it. I got many, many treats from the dentist's office and then ended up right back in there again.
Isn't it funny that dentists hand out lollipops? I always find that so bizarre.
Yeah, it is. They're like, come back and see us in 6 yeah. months.
Yeah. We want to retain our patients, you know.
That's right. That's right. That's job security. That's what that's called.
Here's some Jolly Ranchers, right?
Yeah, exactly. Oh my gosh. I haven't had a Jolly Rancher in so long.
I love that you go a little bit more with the accent around your mom. It just comes out, Sarah. Like your mom brings it out in you.
Is it happening?
Yeah, I can hear it. These little twangs are coming out. It's like you revert back.
Oh, that's funny.
It always happens when you're around your parents. We sort of slide back into that dynamic.
True.
It's so interesting. I love it.
It's really funny.
So you are joining us for our supernatural episode. Obviously, it's October. It's spooky season. We've had a few people jump on and tell us their stories. We've also had listeners write in and share their stories. I shared a couple of things. Sarah shared something so insane that Esme said, and I know you have another story for us as well, don't you?
Well, I just have like a funny story because my mom is here. So I have like there was a day when we were going to see my mom or like I was calling my mom. And so I call my mom all the time, but sometimes the kids are kind of crazy when I call my mom, like instantly it's like, they need me. 2 of them get in a fight. Someone's screaming. And I'm just like, guys. And so one day I was like, listen, this is my mom. This is like if you guys were my age and you were calling me to check on me to see how I'm doing. And I was like, Esme, like when I'm older, will you call and check on me? And she goes, oh, fine. I can check on you, but if you're not okay, I'm not going to take care of you. You have to take care of yourself like an old granny.
Oh my gosh.
She is a comedian, that girl.
You know what? That's so you, Sarah. Not that you wouldn't take care of me, but.
I know. It's just like, she's like, oh, fine. Yeah, I'll call you. Okay. We really have to keep talking about it.
Oh my gosh. That's funny.
Anyway, just because my mom's here and I always want to call my mom and then my kids are like, but Teresa, you have a kind of a crazy story to share today, right?
Yeah, I have one more. So I did share a couple of spooky things. Actually, the house that I'm at right now is where some of the activity was happening. I just looked around nervously as though the ghost was listening to me. Like I was respectful. The moment you like open yourself up and you start talking about it, I have been feeling really nervous to come back to this house and sleep here on my own. I haven't had my husband for the last 7 weeks. So it's just been me and the kids, and I make my mom sleep in the kids' room with the kids because she's got a little granny flat, but I'm like, please, when my husband's not here, please sleep in the room with the kids so that I know everyone's safe and taken care of. But I can't help but at nighttime have the thoughts in my head, because something that happened here, that there was a big knock on the door in the middle of the night and then no one was there, and then there was just this tricycle in the middle of right by my door. I know it was really creepy, but it was the same bike that my cleaning lady saw in the middle of the room after she had put it off to the side. She turned around, came back in, and it was just in the middle of the room again. And now there have been a few things here. My caretaker came yesterday, and these lights in my main living area over there are flickering, like just
three
of them. But he just had them all replaced, all fixed about a month ago. And so he came and he's like, I have no way to explain this. He's like, I actually don't know. I think someone's messing with you. And it's these three lights just going like a strobe effect. So that's been happening. And then at nighttime, I've been having Poet sleep in the bed, Poet, Prairie, and I'm in the middle with the girls with like pushed up against the wall. And I have been feeling great here. I have not been nervous. I've been sleeping so much better than I thought I would. But the story I wanted to share with you is that back in 2014, the end of 2014, I was in my newish house in America. And I had this friend, she's like very intuitive. She's very in touch with that side of things. And she walked through the house and she was like, hey, Tez, like I wouldn't generally say anything, but I just want to let you know that there is a spirit in your master bedroom. And it's an old man. He's an older gentleman.
Oh, my gosh.
He isn't malicious. He feels quite gentle. His passing was quite peaceful, but he's sort of in this loop, a trauma loop from something that happened in his life. But he's not harboring any resentments or anger. So you don't need to be afraid, but he is here. And I was like, oh, God, that's so nerve-wracking. Of course, told Mark. And he was like, oh, whatever. Mark doesn't really. He's open to anything. But he's not like me where I 100% believe in all of these things. So that night, maybe not that night, maybe it was the night after, but it was within a short period of time of my friend saying this to me. Mark and I were lying in bed and I was like, you just don't believe in ghosts. Like, you just don't believe in them. He's like, I don't know. Like, he kept coming up with all these excuses and is like, oh, it's so silly. This is just what someone said. Like, there's no way that's real. And I was like, you're just a non-believer. That's just who you are. And we were in this like little tiff about it. And suddenly the mirror, we had this stand-up mirror. I don't know if you remember this, Sarah. I used to have this long, skinny stand-up mirror in my bedroom up against the wall. And it had been there for so long. No one had moved it. No one had touched it. It started slowly moving down the wall, like just at an angle, slowly. And Mark and I are staring at it in disbelief. And I was like, are you seeing this? And he's like, I'm seeing this. And it's going slowly down. And then the last little section, it slams down really fast.
Oh.
And all the mirror just shatters into 1,000 pieces.
Oh, my goodness.
And it wakes the baby up, Bodhi. It wakes Bodhi up and he's like, argh! And he does that scream. You know that cry, Sarah, when they're so afraid or something's happened to them or maybe they're injured and it's the
yes.
And he just cannot calm down. And for about 30 minutes, God. I cannot calm him down, putting him on the boob, moving around. We are petrified. We run out. We go sleep in the Zen den. And then the next day we sage everything. We just sage. And we had saged when we first got into the house. We had done all of that. I had got my crystals out. I had put the good juju out there and whatever. Obviously it didn't work. There was some old grumpy ghost who didn't like the fact that my husband didn't believe in him. And in the conversation decided to make his appearance known. It was unbelievable. And Mark still doesn't fully believe that the ghost did that. He's still just like, well, it could have been a wind. There was no aircon on. There was no doors open, nothing. And it slowly happened before our eyes. There's just nothing that can explain that away. So anyway, that was my weird ghost story.
Do you know how much cashback you're leaving on the table settling for the wrong credit card? Imagine earning up to 5% cashback on your groceries for the next 30 years. Think of all that cashback on those overpriced kombuchas. NerdWallet helps everyone make smarter financial decisions today that future you will thank you for. With NerdWallet, you won't regret missing out on rewards. NerdWallet lets you compare smart cashback credit cards side by side to make the most of your everyday spending. So what could future you do with more cashback? Splurge on some fancy champagne with the gals, or order fine dining to the house and watch a good true crime doco? Whatever it is, make it happen with a smarter cashback credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet. Finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. One of my favorite ways to start the day is a shower to wake up my senses, but mostly so I have an excuse to lather myself in Osea's Mega Moisture Duo. These seaweed-powered heroes provide results you can see and confidence you can feel with skincare-level ingredients normally reserved for face products. And when I begin and end my day in this intentional way, I feel and sleep better. And you can get 10% off your first order with our code MOTHERDAYS at OseaMalibu.com.
Yes, I agree. Osea's Mega Moisture Duo is up-leveling my skincare on a daily basis. I love the simplicity of the two products. They're nutrient-rich, ultra-hydrating, and the Undaria Collagen Body Lotion leaves you with such a silky, smooth finish. The Undaria Algae Body Oil is clinically proven to instantly improve the look of skin elasticity, and the formula delivers moisture in a really potent way. Since using it, my skin looks brighter, it feels softer, and it has a more sculpted look. Just taking the time out to nourish your body is a moment to practice mindfulness, self-love, and compassion. We all need more of that.
So show your skin some love with clean vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOTHERDAYS at OseaMalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to OseaMalibu.com and use code MOTHERDAYS for 10% off. As a mom of three, I know how hard it can be to figure out what meals that you're going to make for the week. Well, Green Chef has swooped in to save the day. Green Chef is the number one meal kit for clean eating, delivering pre-portioned and prepped, nutrition-approved, quality foods. Green Chef sends organic, fresh produce, responsibly sourced proteins, and chef-designed recipes in every box for satisfying, nourishing, and convenient meals that make it easy to stick to a clean routine. And my girls love to follow along with the recipe sheet that's so beautiful and help me prepare all the food.
Each meal kit is delivered directly to your doorstep and includes pre-measured ingredients and also some pre-chopped produce, which is great because my pet peeve in life is chopping garlic and then having really stinky fingers for like 4 days afterwards. This cuts the dinner prep time in half, leaving us with more minutes in the day to connect with our kids. Each week, it's really easy. You just choose from 80 plus flavor-packed options. You can customize your meals to suit your lifestyle with lots of different preferences, including plant-based options for our family, which makes us feel really seen. So thank you, Green Chef. Also, April is Earth Month, which means supporting Green Chef aligns perfectly as they prioritize sustainability as a core value. They offset 100% of delivery emissions and 100% of plastic in each box. Green Chef partners with Plastic Bank to collect ocean-bound plastic pound for every box they deliver.
So go to greenchef.com/MotherDays50 and use code MotherDays50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. greenchef.com/MotherDays50 and use code MotherDays50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. Green Chef is the number one meal kit for eating well.
That's banana. You know, I was just talking to a friend of mine who her and I lost a really dear friend in common. But right after our friend passed away, every single day for days, the lights would flicker like crazy in her house at all of these random times. I think I remember telling you this. And it was during COVID, and so nobody could come over, but like she talked to this woman who does house clearings, and she like tuned in to figure out like what was going on, and basically was told that our friend was trying to like get her attention and like let her know that she was there. And the only way she could do it was through like flickering the lights. Wow. And yeah, which was so trippy. But then she told me another story about the house that she's in, that she had someone come over who was a friend of hers to do like a house clearing. And she had a black hole, like a vortex thing in her hallway, because her dog would go there every single night at 10 p.m. and bark in the hallway at this like corner in the hall. And she was like, what is happening? And like every night she would start to get a little anxious and get closer to 10. And then 10 p.m. would hit and the dog would go over and like start barking and was really freaking her out. And so her husband was like leaving to go out of town. So she called her friend to come over and do like a check out the house and like maybe try to do like a clearing or something. And she was like, oh, okay. She goes, you have there's a little kid, a little girl. Who's stuck. You have a black hole in your hallway that is like a passageway, like where people are trying, like there's like multiple people like that are trying to go through, but they're kind of stuck here. And she was like, she's trying to play with your dog.
Oh my God.
And your dog doesn't know what to make of it. So she's like, she keeps trying to play with the dog. And she's like, but I can, she's like, she's fine. She's just really upset about like being like having to go before her time. And so she's kind of stuck in this way. And so then she like cleared it, or, you know, my friend was like, oh, well, you know, she told me she like cleared it. And then like she was clearing out the black hole and like she went upstairs and she found that there was like somebody else upstairs, like living in this. So she cleared that person. Well, she said that person didn't want to leave. And then she was like, okay, so this is the person's story. They don't want to leave. They've been on this property for a long time. They're a caretaker. They're not going to bother you. Are you okay with them staying? And she was like, sure. I guess. And then, yeah, maybe. And sure enough, the next night, 10 p.m. rolls around. Dog sleeping. Doesn't bark.
Wow.
It's all gone. Isn't that nuts?
That's insane.
That's insane.
I get so worried. Even now, I keep looking around because I'm like, please, I know you're listening. We are intrigued by you, but we're not that intrigued that we want to see you. So just, I want to keep the door closed to any of that. My friend was telling me a story. He was I can't give it away who he is because I told you the story. He'd prefer to be anonymous. Anyway, so I was driving with this friend of mine recently, and it was a long drive. And I was like, what's your take on spirits and supernatural? And he told me the most terrifying story, this experience that happened to him. And it was this very thing that we're talking about. He had opened his consciousness in a way that he feels welcomed all the good stuff and the lucid dreaming and the astral travel and all the stuff that he was doing a lot of work in that area. So he was able to dive into dreams and lucid dreams. So was very much aware of how to manipulate situations in his consciousness and within his dreamlike state. He then got to the place where he was astral traveling, and it was a practice. It was a daily practice for him. So he was a younger guy at the time, and he was about 5 months into this practice and was getting really excited about his dreams where he could communicate with members of his family through his dreams. And in fact, his sister saw him in her room while he was dreaming.
Like he managed to travel into the sister's room. And then when she saw him, he was gone again. And he was like, yeah, I saw you in my dream. I knew I was in the room. So he had gone to this extreme place, but it did get extreme because one night he was doing his practice and all of a sudden he felt blackness. He said he just felt the dark envelop him, like just come around him and squeeze him. And he said it was the darkest black he's ever seen. He can't even describe how dark it was. And he could feel this presence on top of him, and it was an inch away from his face, like came right
down
his face and was pressing into him, and he couldn't move. He said he couldn't turn his head away. He couldn't, but it was communicating with him and didn't like what he was doing, the practice that he was doing. And then if he would continue to do that practice, this presence would continue to show itself to my friend. And came so close to him at one point. Finally, I guess my friend managed to turn his shoulder and sort of move away. And he said to this being, like, I hear you. I respect you. I'm not going to continue my practice. So he was like, right, I'm done. I'm exiting out of this practice. I'm not doing it anymore. But then it happened for 3 nights. So this entity, this evil entity, came in to obviously the crack that he opened up by delving into these layers of consciousness, that this entity took advantage of it and came in. Mm. And by the third night, he physically assaulted this entity. I'm calling it a he. I'm not trying to gender the entity, but the way he described it, he was using that pronoun. He was saying he. So this entity came in and came right up to his face again on the last night. I was like, like talking.
Oh my God, stop.
I know, I know. When he did that, that was the thing that I kept thinking about in my bed at nighttime was like,
oh my God. No, I know. No.
Really
all my
loud.
Cracks are closed. My cracks are
like,
sealed.
I don't want
tight.
A peep open. I'm not interested. I don't care. I want you guys to do whatever you want to do over there in your
That's
plane.
Right.
I don't know where you are. I just
I would
don't
like
want
to be
have
asleep.
Anything about it.
That's correct.
Yeah. And he and this thing pushed itself onto my friend's body really hard, like almost cracked its ribs and like flew out of him, like flew away, and he didn't see it again. But he said he was terrified of sleep for a long time after that.
Oh my gosh.
It was just those 3 days, and then he shut down his practice and he never did it again. He didn't dive into lucid dreaming. He didn't dive into astral travel. Yeah. And he's like, and I never have done it.
Yeah, that's not something I'm going to – I'm not going to pick that up. Not going to pull a book on that.
Before he told me that horrible end to the story, I was like, wow, lucid dreaming sounds amazing. How do I get into this? Like, what is this astral travel? Like, what book should I read?
I'm sure there's some medicinal plant that you can smoke to get into some lucid dreaming.
I'm sure.
At least for
I'm
a moment.
Sure. I know it's through meditation and a few various other practices that you can do. Zero interest. No, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm very
no,
happy.
You.
I'm very happy the way I am.
Very happy.
And we, like Sarah says, we like to dip our baby toe into this area.
That's right. Yeah.
But not the whole foot.
We like to have like a teensy tiny little bitty bitty taste, but then cool that's sound. It. I mean, the other night when we were recording Spooky Stories, I got so scared. I locked the door to the Airstream because I'm out in the Airstream by myself. Lights shining on me. Anybody can see me through the window, but I can't see anything out there. And I got so freaked out when I had to go back up to my house. But I forgot to turn the camera thing off so, like, Teresa could hear me. And I was freaking out. I went down the stairs. I was carrying my water, my computer. I spilled water everywhere. I couldn't see anything. I was, like, trying to run up my stairs. I dropped stuff. And then Teresa was texting me, like, I can still hear you.
I thought maybe she could hear me as well. So I was like, Sarah.
I was so freaked.
It's me, your ghost.
Terrified. Yeah.
I was trying to mess with you. It didn't work. But
I asked my mom, I was like, are there any stories that you want to tell? Because I definitely want to have you on the show at some point, and I talk about you on the show. So I was like, ah. Mm-hmm. And mom's had many different things that have come up in life, you know, with animals. Mom, you have like how many dogs?
Four.
Currently, she has four dogs, but at one point you had four dogs, a bearded dragon.
I have fish, yeah.
You had a fish, yeah. She's like...
Plenty. I have a whole tank of fish, yes.
Oh, you still do?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You know, something I tried to do the other day, which is crazy, I'll tell you about this. So we had these frogs come after the monsoon, and they're Sonoran desert frogs. So there was one in my pool, and I rescued it, and then it just like, I thought it peed all over me, but it actually shot poison on me. I didn't know that.
Oh, no.
But I rescued this thing, and I put it over the fence and everything, and so I went in and washed my hands, and then I got to reading about it, and it was like poisonous to humans and to dogs. And Louie,
Louie
has tried to. He killed one, and he was like in this hallucinating stage where his eyes bugged out. And
no,
I had to wash him down and everything. So I was trying to rescue this poor frog, which I thought was a poor frog, but he was a poisonous frog, which is crazy. Oh,
well, he's still a poor frog. I mean, but he's just a poisonous poor frog,
right? But he was poisonous to humans and to animals. So, and Louie not only did it once, he did it twice. And the second time, I wish I would have videotaped him, because he remember when JoJo had the big bug eyes and she had diabetic, one of our dogs.
Yes.
That's what Louie looked like. He was like, his hands were like, he was like hallucinating. And
oh, Norwa.
And they say in Arizona, it's illegal to lick the frog or smoke its skin because it's hallucinogenic.
Oh my God.
What?
People actually catch frogs and lick them? Who's out there catching frogs and licking them?
You could with this one because it's hallucinogenic. So.
Oh my God.
Wait. Obviously somebody has done this because it's illegal, you guys.
And now there'll be another five people being like, hey, cool, let's do that this Saturday night.
Wait a minute. What's the name? Hold on. Go back. Rewind. What's the name of the frog?
A Sonoran desert frog or a Colorado frog. So,
if any of our listeners have licked a Sonoran desert frog and you've had
a trip,
a hallucination, can you please email us at themotherdays@gmail.com and tell us everything?
Better yet, send videos.
Actually, yeah. Send us your videos. Tape.
Oh my gosh, it was a crazy thing. It was like, I was for an hour, I was trying to resuscitate Louie, and I'm like, you deserve this, Louie, because this is your second time. It's his second time.
He's a little dog. Louie was my dad's dog.
Mm-hmm.
That he's really tiny. He used to sleep on my dad's lap. And for anybody who doesn't know, my dad died about 5 years ago. And so my mom definitely thinks that my dad comes and visits in the form of Louie.
Oh, definitely.
Comes back, has a little visit, barks at mom's new husband,
sleeps on his pillow, growls at him if he tries to get in his side of the bed. Yes.
Oh, does Louie like him or not?
He does, but not in the bed.
Yeah. He's possessive. Wow, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And you know what's funny is he doesn't sleep on that pillow. He sleeps with me. But when Herb comes home, he's like on his side of the bed and it's like growls at him, do not get in this bed. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Is your dad, Sarah?
It might be.
Every time I've come back and I've been around Louie, I look at Louie and I'm like, Dad, is that you? Give me a sign.
It could be his gray mustache, you know. And
do something.
Bushy eyebrows.
Yeah, I'm not sure Dad's come around when I've been there in the form of Louie. But anyway, so I asked mom, like, what story do you want to tell? And she's like, I actually have a story from before you were born. So before I was born, mom and dad had a son.
Yeah.
And so my brother.
Robert Leroy Wright III.
Robert Leroy Wright III.
Oh, my gosh. Divine.
Such a sweetheart.
I love it.
And do you want to take it from here? I kind of set you up with him.
Yeah, for sure. So when he was in the hospital and he had a brain tumor, which was terrible, but it was in the brainstem, which nowadays could be lasered and taken care of. But then there was no way to do anything to it unless when they opened him up, it touched it, it grew. So he had like many a strokes and he was on a feeding tube. And
how old was he? He was like two?
He was, he was 15 months old when he got sick. So he passed away like 1 month before his second birthday.
Oh gosh. Because I know he was in the hospital for a long time.
8 months. Yes. 8 months.
8 months.
But he was already at 12 months old. He already, you know, was potty trained and just like, he was amazing, like remarkable. Everything he did was, he talked early and he loved McDonald's cheeseburgers, which is terrible right now. I know.
That's
but,
okay.
I mean, that was his favorite thing, but he had a brain tumor. We thought he had ear infections, but it was just a fluid producing tumor. So once he got it taken out, he was like immediately so much better. And then he went into seizures because it was still producing the fluid. But anyway, so he was sick in the hospital for 8 months and, So the neurologist is like, he's never going to survive this. But I couldn't believe it because you can't believe that you would be without your child, you know. But one day after several months, I mean, a lot of kids had passed away. We were in that like Audubon Hospital and there was like on the kids, you know, the pediatric ward. And so many kids have passed away. And what's the crazy thing is they would pass you their balloons or their flowers and I never wanted any of that stuff. I was just like, no, I don't. Cause it's your turn, you know, you're kind of like, but one day I was in the waiting room and walked out to the waiting room just for a breather. And I met this lady and she's like, oh, do you have a little boy in the hospital too? And I was like, I do. And she's like, well, what's his name? And I told her and she said, oh, I want you to meet my little boy. And so I said, okay, you know, I wasn't really that interested and meeting her little boy, but because everybody's sick there. But so I went in the room and there was this giant boy that was like 21 years old.
Oh.
And he had a trach in him and he was like totally breathing off the trach, but he was in there because he had pneumonia. And she goes, Johnny, look, this is Debbie. Her son, Robert, is in the room next to you. And he'd been that way for 18 years.
Oh, my gosh. Wait, what? He'd been in there for 18 years?
Well, he had been like he was for 18 years. She finally had to put him in a nursing home because she couldn't care for him. So she was, to her, he was just as normal as he was when he was 2 years old when he got that way, you know.
Oh.
So I was like, oh my gosh, I woke up and I'm like, I've been so selfish because I had begged for him to live and he was pretty much, you know, like not even, I mean, he'd had so many strokes, he had a feeding tube. He didn't have a trach, thank God, because I was like, I didn't want that for him. So when I left that room, I was like, I feel so selfish because I begged for him to live. So then the reason I'm telling you this is because of what happened next. The next day, your dad and I were in the room together and I was talking about that boy. And I was like, you know, I feel really selfish because I've been begging for God for him to live. But do I want him to live like that for the next 18 years? I would take care of him no matter what, you know. So it was a Wednesday and in the room came a girl because we had, I don't know if y'all know what candy stripers are, but they're girls that, you know, they volunteer to get, experience if they want to be nurses in the future. So they're called candy stripers. So she came in and she was checking on us and she was like, oh, how are y'all doing? And she said, this is your son, Robert. And I was like, yeah. And she's like, I just want to check on you. I'll see if y'all need anything. And she gave me this letter and I was like, okay, thank you. And she left the room and I read the letter and it was so beautiful. And it was a message from God. And it was like, your children are only here for a little while for you to care for. And at any time, you know, they can come back home with me. They're precious and, you know, you're to raise them up and love them. It was like angels unaware. That's all I can remember. I can't find the poem. I know I have it somewhere in this book with all his stuff, all his pictures and everything. I tried to find it over the weekend, but I was like, oh my gosh, that's so beautiful. And it was almost like a confirmation that, you know, that any time, you know, even though God gives us our children, you know, he could take them back at any time. But it was just almost like felt like a presence, a beautiful presence. So I ran outside, and the nursing station was just like right across from you to that plant. And I was like, oh, I said, did you all see the candy striper that just left? I don't remember what her name is. And they're like, Debbie, there's no candy stripers here today. They have to sign in on this pad, and they're not allowed in here unless they have a pass. And I was like, no, she just gave me this letter. And she's like, well, there was no one here, but there was no one here. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's even more beautiful because it was an angel.
It's an angel.
I remember her face, and it was just, I don't know, it was almost like a reassurance. So, you know, later on that night, you know, talked to Robert, and I was like, you know, I can't keep begging for him to live. And he actually died the next day.
No oh, way. I just got goosebumps.
Yeah, because I let go.
Oh, Mom, thank you so much for sharing that with us. That is, I have goosebumps.
Oh. I know, I have goosebumps, I have tears in my eyes.
I mean, it was beautiful, though. You know, like all his suffering, you know, I didn't think about him. Yeah. I thought about me.
Yeah.
Because we actually got to take him home like in September for a little while, but he was on a feeding tube, and I had to suction his throat out and things like that. And, you know, it was just like maybe like giving me some time. But, you know, I know it's hard, you know, for parents to lose their children, no matter what stage that you lose them. But I thought that was beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, wow, what a powerful thing that you were sent this spirit or angel or, you know.
Even the day before, the lady that came in with her son, who clearly, mm-hmm. you know, had been in that way for 18 years, no one would want to beg their child to live like that. You can keep him alive like that, because basically he was being kept alive, you know. Even Robert was on the machines and things like that. But
what a beautiful gift.
Yeah.
To help with the transition. Like it was, you were gifted those two experiences back to back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Able to let go, you know, and just, you know, finally, I guess, maybe have some peace to know that he was going to be with, you know, be in heaven and, you know, not just, I mean, it was hard.
And you were so young. Like I'm so grateful that your like team of light or whoever was watching over you at that time sent this person to speak to you.
It was beautiful.
Because you were like, how old were you, Mom? You were
so I was 20 when I had you. So I was probably 19, I guess, when he passed away, because I had you the next year.
Yeah.
But it doesn't even feel like that, though, because, you know, I remember when I had him, how beautiful he was. And immediately, like, I think about you all the time, because immediately I was like, my instinct was to nurse him and be the mother, you know, like instant mother, you know. And back then it wasn't even like even normal to breastfeed.
Yeah.
But it was beautiful.
Yeah. You were a very natural mom, and I remember you telling me too that, I mean, he was so little, but he like fully communicated and mm-hmm. talked with you guys, and he went to the potty. And
yeah, like, it's like he was already, we got to do all those things, you know, potty mm-hmm. train. And yeah, it was amazing. But I mean, he would tell me he had headaches. I thought he would say that because his Aunt Donna had headaches a lot. And I thought he was mocking her, but he really did have headaches. And that was unbelievable. At 12 months old, you could say, I have a headache.
He could tell you mm-hmm. that. Yeah. When you think about how little, like such a baby at that age.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, have to ask you because I remember Dad saying that he was like, we walked out to look for her, the candy striper. And they actually wear like a candy striper uniform,
right? Yeah,
it's like
red and white stripe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and he said that you guys like walked to the nurse's station.
Immediately.
He went down the hall, mm-hmm. like tried to find her, couldn't find her. And mm-hmm. that you both just knew like that was
instantly,
that person.
We did. Yes.
Yeah. That was someone sent to you to tell you like that
it's
this
okay.
is, you know,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be okay. And yeah, you felt like, you know, he said that you guys felt finally, like, you could go, okay, this is what's supposed to happen now.
It took a long time, though.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Because it's not normal when that's all you have is your child, you know, and you just can't even imagine it, even though the neurologist will be like, you got to shake me and listen, you know. It's going to happen.
How quickly after that were you pregnant with me?
So I believe probably because you were born in September, it's 9 months. Yeah. So I probably got pregnant in December.
I had
a really big fear though, because I felt like I would never have any more kids again, because a lot of people that I knew never could have kids, you know, but I don't know. I had a fear, and that's all I wanted, you know, was to get pregnant again. And the crazy thing is really cool. You were born totally blackheaded, which was totally unusual for our babies because they're all whiteheaded.
Yeah, that's true. All the babies in our family have completely white hair, and I was born with black hair.
And wow. So I felt like maybe that was something for me to not, like, you know, mentally confuse you with having, like, Robert all over again because, you know, you all look alike, you know. So what's funny is maybe before you were one, your hair grew out totally white and you had black tips and everybody was like, oh my gosh, did you tip frost her hair? It's like, no. Have we ever had any more babies that were totally blackheaded? No.
No. Like Wyatt had brownish blonde hair and then it was white, and Winter was born with strawberry hair, or not Winter, Esme was born with strawberry hair that was white, and then Winter was born with white hair, basically.
Yeah. So Robert and Samuel were white-headed, like toe-headed. Like you couldn't even see their eye. They had no eyebrows or anything. Yes. So.
Gosh, that is so wild. I mean, it's, you know, hearing that story again. I mean, you guys told us that story from when we were like little kids. You know, I remember hearing that and being like, wow, there's something else out there. I mean, I believed in God and, you know, I believed in angels and spirits and all of that just naturally, especially even after. So my great grandmother passed away when I was like 5 or 6 years old. Mm-hmm. And she was like my best friend in the whole world. And I spent the night at her house all the time. But she fully came and visited me in my dreams one night. Like, and I remember replaying the whole story to mom and dad. But she fully came afterwards because I was so heartbroken over her death.
She was so beautiful. Yeah, she was great.
So beautiful. And she walked up the stairs and she was fully like done, like in her hat and her clothes, like everything. She looked so beautiful. And she walked up the stairs and she knocked on the door at our house. And I opened the door and I was like, oh my gosh, you're here. You know, you're so beautiful. And she just like gave me a big hug and told me she loved me and she'd always be with me and that I was okay. And like, it was amazing. And I was so little, but I already believed in all of that because my mom and dad were telling us about these stories of things like this happening when we were so young. And it was, you know, everybody calls it different things. Some people call it a ghost. Some people call it a spirit. You call it an angel. You call it the universe. You call it God. You know, all these different labels that you can put on it. But we know that there's something else out there. So
definitely.
Oh, Debbie, that was the most beautiful story. It was moving. And I just loved how you were so taken care of in the moment in your life when you most needed that nurturing. And Sarah beautifully describes it as your team of light. And we were just so moved by that story.
Thank you. It was beautiful.
Yeah. It very much does feel like, you know, you have this, like, there are times when things just happen in your life that you can't explain. And or where things sort of show up in a way that you can't explain. And it's really nice to think about that being your team of light and who's on that team. Like, I would imagine that on my team of light is probably my great grandmother, who's probably been watching over me since I was, you know, since she died when I was 5 years old, and probably now my dad. And I bet my brother is on my team of light. There's always felt like someone has been protecting me from like Are you seriously going to go walk by yourself at 3 o'clock in the morning in Japan and go to the 7-Eleven and get a Haagen-Dazs ice cream? Like, that sounds like the dumbest thing that you could ever do. But somehow I was protected in that, you know, walk to 7-Eleven, and I was safe. And I remembered thinking back to that as an adult and being like, wow, like, who was watching over me when that happened? Because there's just these moments. But you were given this like amazing gift of this spirit, this presence coming down and actually showing up. And it was to you and Dad. It's not like it was just to you.
No, we both,
it was you and Dad. You both saw it. You both walked out being like, where did she go? You know, and they're like,
I have the letter somewhere. So it's beautiful.
Wow.
That is wild.
I love that. I love the great mysteries of life. It's one of my favorite things that we don't need all the answers. We can just learn to leave it be and know that it's something otherworldly and beautiful. And it is light. And it makes me feel, I don't know if you guys both feel like this, I never really feel alone because I know there's just this other presence, this higher being protecting me and guiding me and leading the way. Sarah, when you mentioned about your team of light, it made me think about this time when I was on, I was shooting Ride Like a Girl, and I had this horrible on-set accident where
I remember this.
The horse I was on was not an actor horse. It was it was actually just an ex-race horse that they had pulled in for this movie. And I was on the horse in the jockey position, and a couple of other horses got spooked, or they got sent by my horse at the wrong time. Something happened with the communication, and my horse just took off and just at a flat gallop just started and I've never galloped on a horse before. I was up in the jockey position and I was bouncing around and wobbling and so fatigued, and he was just legging it, and the safety horses were galloping towards my horse to try and stop it, and it was outrunning everything. It was outrunning every horse, and I remember my trainer at the time just yelling at me from the back of his safety horse. He was about three horses behind me, and he was like, just hold the F on. And I was like, oh my gosh. And everything sort of went slow motion. And as I was getting more fatigued, I was like jelly. I was just wobbling around and sliding. And I was like, oh, I'm about to go under the hooves. And I'm mic'd. So I've actually got this, the audio is somewhere. And I started talking to my Nana. And I just started saying, Nana, please, I cannot leave these little boys. Do not let me leave these little boys. I know you can hear me. Please save me. Please, please, please slow the horse down. You know, I will do anything. I'll dedicate my life to being the best person in the world, spreading love and joy, anything. Don't let me leave these babies. And and the horse, from a flat gallop, just the next leap went into a canter. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's slowing down. The horse is slowing down. And I felt such a presence, and my body stabilized. And I had this immediate download of how I was going to navigate the next minute of the course. And I knew that it meant that the horse was going to slow down, and then I was going to jump off the back of it so that I wouldn't fall, because my body was so fatigued at this point. But I had gone from feeling helpless and out of control and so filled with fear to a sense of calm. Everything kind of slowed down. I just had this knowing that everything was going to be okay. This is how we're going to get out of this situation. And I ended up jumping off the horse and sort of rolling. And I thought I had broken my legs. I was like, oh, I've only broken my legs. That's great. That's so much better than dying. Thank God. And the whole crew had just frozen, and they were just frozen staring at me. Everyone thought I had died because they saw me come off the horse. And I was like, I was okay. My Nana was with me. It was all under control. Do not worry. Like, my beautiful Dora Sanders was looking after me. She knew I wanted to live on and be a mama and have my babies and have more babies. But I remember that distinct moment, what you said, Sarah, about like, oh, those team of people who are looking out for you. And I needed her in that moment and she showed up for me. So it's a beautiful idea to know that they're with us and keeping us company. And, you know, I take comfort in that.
I remember that story and it was crazy. You were like, not just everybody was staring at you, but they were also like, people were like crying, like fully crying, because they were like, oh, she's right.
Yeah. And they heard the, or everyone had the, they had the cans on so they could hear me like praying and just being like, please don't let me die. Yes. I've got babies. Like, don't let me leave them.
Oh,
and
my
it was so sad.
That's why they were crying.
Well, they all thought everyone thought, because I was so wobbly. Really looked like I was coming up. But yeah.
That is so wild.
Thank you, Nana, for having my back.
Thank you, Nana. Oh, it's good. Yeah, it's really nice to believe, to like think about that and know that you have those people looking out for you, and that there's moments that we can tap into that. And mom, somehow when you were 18 years old, you tapped into that and you were given that moment. That was amazing.
Debbie, do you feel him around you over the years? Have you felt Robert show up in varying forms? Do you sense his presence?
I did, like, for a long time, you know, and it's, but as long as you keep the memory alive, then you have that. Because I always wonder what he would look like now, or what would he be doing? Mm-hmm. Because that was in, he was born in 1980. He died in 82. So it would be like, this year is what, 2022. So he would be like 42, which is crazy because I'm not even 40 yet. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I wonder what his life would be like. You know, I wonder. I mean, it doesn't go by that you don't think about. You know, what would they be like? You know, what would he be doing? You know, would he have followed his dad and be a pastor? Would he have done? You know, like, what would he have done? You know, you wonder all the time. You know, mm-hmm. So you never forget. You know, it's always there. And, I mean, like I always tell people that lose children, you know, you never get over it. You get through it, but you never get over it. It will always be there with you, you know, and you wonder, you know, imagine, you know, what life would be like for them every year, you know, especially when their birthday comes around.
I mean, there's like photos, of him that I've seen, you know, when he was little, and his like baby pictures and stuff, and those like little JCPenney photos that you would like take him and get him all dressed up. But there's been moments when I've been looking at my kids, Wyatt and Winter specifically, where I feel like I can see him in them,
exactly,
you know, like from
facial.
Those pictures, I'm like, whoa, like the genes are so strong, and
exactly.
I can definitely see my brother in them, which is wild. And then Esme, you know, I love that we've had you on here today, and that we've tapped into this amazing and, you know, incredible moment and story in such a tragic time in your life. I think we should do a whole episode on grief, because I don't think it's something that's talked about enough. I don't think that there's enough out there to help people. And, you know, we've experienced different forms of grief in our life, losing dad and you losing a child and losing other family members. But I think we should do an episode talking about it and talking about experiences and just, you know, how we get through, how we cope, how you like live through all of that and communicate with each other. And we would love to have you back and do that for sure.
Yeah, just let me know.
Just let you know. You can pencil us in if you're not like camping or catching poisonous frogs in your backyard.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy. I love all animals. I don't care what they are, but I'll try to save them. But
no thanks to the poisonous frogs.
Sedona poisonous frog.
Well, even though I knew it was poisonous, the next time Louis did that, I took it out front and let it out front, which...
Oh, so you were still holding on to it.
Well, I actually got like gloves on.
Oh my God, I will save like a bug the size of a flea in the pool. And so now it's not enjoyable. I go in and I'm like, I'm constantly saving bugs from the pool.
Well, I would save all the lizards in the pool. Oh. I actually have resuscitated some and, you know, Keiko, the Shiba Inu that I have is like waiting to get that lizard. I'm like, no, we got to save it. I'm like,
You're giving the lizard CPR.
Oh. Just rubbing on it, you know, like, wake up, you're okay.
Oh my gosh, you're the cutest person. You really are. I see where you get it from, Sarah.
She definitely has she had a crazy miniature Doberman pincher named Jojo, the one that ended up being diabetic and couldn't see and like felt her way over to my grandma's house every day to eat bacon. And we were like, this is why she's not doing well. She would like feed her like sugar and bacon grease. And we were like, she can't even see, but she could like find her way to my grandmother's
house. She could smell her way over there. Yeah.
But that dog, my mom got that dog when I left to go like live in Japan for a few months. And when I came back, that dog would just pee in my suitcase in the middle of my bed, like all over my stuff. Like it hated me, but
that's true.
It always lived with us. And I'm sure there was some spirit inside of her that was like, oh yeah, we don't like that one.
You left us.
Yeah, that's right. I left you guys. So
you abandoned her.
She did pee on your stuff. I warned you, don't leave your clothes on the floor.
I was like, well, it's my house. What am I supposed to do?
Right.
Yeah. Well, Mom, thank you so much for coming on here today and joining us for...
Oh, it's fun. I enjoyed it so much. And I love the Mother Days.
Oh, thank you, Debbie. You're such a ray of light. Well,
thank you.
You really are. And thank you for coming after work. I'm sure you didn't even have time to eat dinner. So, and Teresa hasn't had breakfast where she is.
I know, and I worked through my lunch today.
So. Of course you did. And yeah, Teresa's pounding back some sort of Indonesian chip over there, but
it's true.
Well, we love you. Thank you for coming on today. And you guys, this is another episode from our spooky supernatural series on the Mother Days. You can find us at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you need your teeth done in Arizona, you can go visit my mom, Debbie, and she'll hook you up. Your teeth will be super white. I mean, they might hurt a little bit and get some zingers, but it's all worth it.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Okay.
That was the 80s.
That was just back in the 90s.
Oh, sorry. I just aged you up so much.
All right. Well, thank you guys.
All right. Mwah.